Mark chapter 4. We're going to read the first 20 verses. I went through all, when the Lord gave me a word on this, I went through all four Gospels, and I said, well, which one do I want? They're all good. I mean, it's like folks come in and they're trying to pick difference in vehicles today. Folks used to be brand sensitive. And I've got books of the Bible that you all know, that Romans, that's my book, man. If you had one food on a desert island, if I had one book of the Bible, it'd be the book of Romans. It's not that the others of any less import. It's just that's the book of Romans speaks to me. And I grow in it, sort of like the good ground that we're going to talk about this morning. In Mark chapter 4, he began to teach by the seaside, and there was gathered unto him a great multitude, so that he entered into a ship, and he sat in the sea. And the whole multitude was by the sea on the land. And he taught them many things by parables, and said unto them in his doctrine, hearken, listen, behold, there went out a sower to sow. It came to pass as he sowed that some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. And some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. Another fell on good ground, and it did yield fruit that sprang up and increased and brought forth some 30, some 60, and some 100. And he said unto them, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And when he was alone, they that were about him with the 12 asked him of the parable. And he said unto them, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. Now listen. But unto them that are without, all things are done in parables, that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven them. And he said unto them, know ye not this parable? And how then will ye know all parables? The sower soweth the word. Are you there, Ryan?
Yes, sir.
All right, sir. The sower soweth the word. And these are they by the wayside, where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. And these are they sown on the stony ground, who when they had heard the word immediately receive it with gladness, have no root in themselves, and so endure for a time afterward, when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, and immediately they are offended. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches, the lusts of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word, receive it, bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. There's one thing that I know. And I'm not much of a farmer. I'm married to one. I'm not much of a horticulturist. But I know that the ground doesn't lie. The things that God created. Well, I can't say that exactly, because God created Lucifer. The things of this earth that God created, they don't lie. Let me say this. The fruit doesn't lie. The fruit never lies. And that's the context of our word. Is not man himself created from what?
Dirt.
The ground. Yeah. Well, the seed has fallen. I'd ask what type of ground you are. on what ground has the seed fallen? In 35 years, almost 35 years, I've observed in the ministry, I've observed all four types of ground multiple times and in almost every type of religious setting. And had I paid attention to the Word of God, I'd have known. As James said, can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries? James 3:12. Can it? No. It cannot, you see. Listen, I'm not a universalist. I like Ralph Stanley. He's passed on, and you all know I like. And Ralph Stanley, I knew that toured with him. And this man was a strict primitive Baptist from up, and he couldn't have been further from Ralph Stanley. He's a strict primitive Baptist up in Kentucky. And I spoke with this man personally. I knew him. And he toured with Ralph Stanley. And Ralph Stanley was a universalist. So I'm sure it was very interesting on that bus, if you know anything about a universalist, you see. I'm not a universalist, okay? And I'm not a JW. I'm not foolish enough to believe that everybody's going to heaven, because everybody's not going to heaven. Hell's not going to. He had to enlarge hell. He's never had to enlarge heaven, you see. There'll be no goats or tares in heaven. There'll be no bad ground in heaven. Do you understand what I'm saying? And the ground here is told by Christ that those are people. I mean, we think of ground, he spoke in parables, but people. I'm asking you, as James, doth a fountain send forth at the same time sweet water and bitter? I'm asking of your ground. We've come to an age in modern theology where men's fates, eternal fates, and I've watched this thing. Those of you that know me, I cut my teeth at the Roloff Homes in Corpus, and I saw literally hundreds, if not thousands, of men and boys and women and girls go through those programs. And their eternal fates, they were told, they were decided in what you might say a matter of moments. And in those days, the men would get up, including myself, and we'd preach for up to an hour. Man, sometimes we'd have a meeting, it'd go an hour and a half, 2 hours, and we'd preach these meetings, and then they'd give an invitation, and in a matter of moments, somebody'd come and they'd make a decision, and I preached a message one time. Matter of fact, it had the church had to do years ago when that church first started that Ralph normally attends, and I preached a message. I knew a bunch of those people that started that. Matter of fact, they had me in there one time. And they walk around like and they'd have notches on their belts of how, man, we saved 12 this week, and we saved. And I preached a message years ago, and I said, where are they? Where in God's name are they? Because the Superdome wouldn't hold all of them by the time you say you get done. Where's the good ground? You know how I'm going to know who's saved when I get there? I can examine fruit. I mean, I can see some things, but I've watched it for. I've been around now. I've watched it lots and lots of years. Where are they? You see, a profession of faith, and men they're declared righteous, saved in the light, good ground. I think of. You know, Sam, what's this lowing of oxen I hear? You're supposed to have done killed all the Amalekites, and all I hear is sheep bleating and oxen lowing. Oh, well, I killed them all. Well, what's this sound over here? You know, and I've met people like that. Wait a minute, you told me that guy was saved, and he's down in the beer joint, whoremongering and fornicating and cussing, and I've worked with him. Saved from what? I don't see any difference in him than before he ever went to church. You see, the great preacher Jonathan Edwards, I'd pray that you know something of him. He wrote one of the most, man, I mean, it was astounding. Men were clawing away the front sinners in the hands of an angry God. Jonathan Edwards. Where's that God? And he was actually fired from his last church, and he'd been pastor there for years and years, and he was fired because he suggested that before they allowed someone into the fellowship, before they allowed someone into their midst, and I'm not talking about attending church, I'm talking about to become a part of that body, that they observed them for a time. Well, let's just kind of, I mean, do we not do that in our daily lives? When you hire somebody, do you not observe them for a time? Everybody we come into contact, people tell, I'd love it when people tell me, they say, I don't judge anybody. I said, you're a liar, mister. You judge everything. Any man tells me he doesn't judge is a liar. You start judging the moment your eyes lay on something. You see. Observance. Fruit inspection. We do it every day. We do it all day. In this country, and still now, men had trades that used to have what's called an apprenticeship. Y'all remember? A plumber, he has to go through an apprenticeship. He couldn't get a license and so on and so forth. See, if they're fit for the trade. And in many professions, it's still so. You see, we practice that with sports teams. Everybody doesn't make the sports team, do they? Now, I'm not preaching salvation by words. Matter of fact, I'm preaching just the opposite, okay? The military, not everybody made it in the military. And yet we get to church and they say a few words and they shed a few tears and they're sorry they got drunk and they're sorry they slept with somebody's wife, and we all come up and hug them and baptize them and they're declared fit for heaven. Man, I've seen them teaching Sunday school within 30 days. I've done it. I've seen it. We went to, some of you have heard the story, went to a church. Man, we couldn't find a church. We're living up in Tennessee and we're going around these Baptist churches and I pull in the parking lot and I see this lady walking up, and I don't know, man, I'm showing my age. She looked like a go-go girl, if y'all know. And the go-go girls, man, she had on a pearly white mini skirt and high heel shoes. And I said, Lord, have mercy, going into this Baptist church dressed like that. And I said, no, I don't want to judge. I said, man, this is where she ought to be. She can go in this Baptist church and hear the gospel and get saved. Man, we walk in the door and she was the piano player. We didn't stay. I mean, a few words and they'll make them anything. I've seen them let child molesters and sodomites and whatever else, and they'll put them in the pulpit. What on God's earth are you thinking? You wouldn't let them in your home. You see? Because they'll take anybody. You see, the companies won't, the colleges won't, the military won't, the sport teams won't, but the church will. They'll take any vagabond that comes down the road. You say, well, okay, yeah. Don't leave me, you see. And now over more than 100 years later, look at the churches. Man, there's not enough good ground in the churches to grow potatoes. Oh, there's ground. And you can recognize it. Any of you spend any time in church or around religious people, you've seen all four types of these grounds. Reminds me of Jonah. The gourd lasted a day, and then once again he was miserable. Why? He put his trust in a gourd instead of his trust in God. Who makes that seed grow? God makes that seed grow. Yeah, do you do? Sure you do. We're bringing up this boy right here. And you bring somebody new in the church, and there are things that you do. They're babes in Christ, and Paul talked about it. You go through all the Gospels, you see. But the churches, they trust everything. They got women in the pulpits. Woman shall not teach nor usurp authority over man. Bless God, she can get up there in the pulpit, you see. Jesus, our text, he answered and he said unto them, because it's not given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. I'm sorry, it is given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. When I read that so many years ago, And man, here I am, a young preacher boy, you know, and I'm at Roloff's, and I've preached on street corners, and I've preached in housing projects, and I've preached in county jails, and I've preached in state prisons, and I've preached in Dairy Queens, and I've preached in, I can't think of all the places. You name it. I mean, I've had a pretty rounded ministry. I've preached just about everywhere you can preach. I'm going to tell you something to them. It's just not given. Jesus said to all these people to whom he spoke, they were not, did you see it? Not given the right to be converted. Now, if you want to argue with Scripture, if you want to kick against the pricks, and I've seen a lot of men do it, I did it at one time. He said, I'm not talking to them plainly. They'll get converted. They'll get saved. Isn't that what he said? It's King James Bible. We believe the King James Bible. I do. You see? I can tell you this. After 30, men won't have this God. They'll have the love God of their mind. They won't have this God. That's not right. I used to have five pictures on the side of the refrigerator. Got five grandkids, and I'd rate them 1 through 5. Oh, my. You can't do that. They're equal. I said, they're not equal. There's not two people ever born on the face of God's earth equal. Not two. Not identical twins. One's smarter, one's faster, one's bigger. Jesus spoke to him. He's sitting by the seaside in front of a multitude. Now you tell me what the local Baptist preacher would do. He'd be declaring 75% of them saved down front. Ask Jesus in your heart. That's all you got to do. Jesus said, no, I'm going to speak to them in parables, in riddles. He said, it's not given to them to know. Now you can kick against the pricks all you want. I did with a man back in the 80s. Man, I'm out so-called soul winning, and I'm preaching on all these places and doing all these things. And he said, no, it ain't given to everybody. And I said, no, you're crazy. And I went off stomping mad. We talked till 3 or 4 in the morning. That man's still living. About 5 years later, I'm up in Tennessee, and God revealed to me something. And I called that man, and I said 2 words to him. He answered the phone. He said, hello. And I said, you were right. You're right. And he goes, amen. And I go, amen. And I hung up. And that was the end of it. That's the way the thing went down. Now they can join the Baptists or the Methodists in 5 minutes. Can't they? Come on. Who all wants Billy and Susie in the church? I do. Anybody know anything about Billy and Susie? Well, he's a bookie. She's a harlot. But bless God, they're saved. From what? Well, what about all that? You say you never were. Oh, yeah, I was chief of sinners. Paul hadn't met me yet. Faithful, saying, worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came to the world, save sinners who me, Smokey Neal, am chief. And I used to tell you, when you can put your name there, you might have some good ground. You might be entering on some good ground, you see. What kind of fruit? What kind of ground? Who cares? Just take them. Would you buy land that way? Lord, have mercy. But we'll take people that way. Jesus didn't. He never did. You say he took in some. Yeah, he did. But just because she was a harlot didn't mean she wasn't good ground. Didn't mean she wasn't a sheep. You're just living like a goat. I lived like a goat. I smelled like a goat. I ate like a goat. Yeah. Guess what? One day I found out I was a sheep. Kind of like the DNA. Knew a man, he was I better not say that word in church. He was Cajun. Imagine Brother Steve Stephan to listen to this. And Quibido, man. I mean, well, man, he does the DNA test, finds out he ain't a Quibido. He's like a Wilson or a Smith or something. Okay? Found out what he really, really was. Would you do that? Would you? You don't go through who you let be around your family, around your wife, and around your children. You know, we do background checks. Any company that, unless they just can't get it, they do a background check. I don't care what you did, but I care what you are now. And there's only one way I'm going to find that out. Can olive berries grow on a fig tree? Can fresh water and sweet water come from the same fountain? They don't have to drive. Well, you still have to take a driving test, even if you're illegal. Whatever all that means. We've let everybody in this country. How's that working out? How come everything's shut down today? You see? We've gotten the idea in religion that because of the word whosoever, that every living human can be saved. Let me ask you something. Was Judas whosoever? He was created for a specific purpose. How about Esau? How about the workers of iniquity that God hates in the fifth psalm and the fifth verse? How about them? How about the tares? How about them? Are they whosoever? How about Lucifer? Is he whosoever? You know, I've got a message I preached years and years ago when all in all. Go turn with me, if you would, to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13 and verse 38. By the way, this is the same chapter, Matthew 13, as you'll find the good ground. And this is when Jesus had spoken another parable of the wheat and the tares. He said, the field is the world. Now look at it. The good seed are the children of the kingdom. But the tares are the children of who?
Wicked one.
Wicked one. Are they whosoever? The children of the wicked one can go to heaven? Are you kidding me? Armenians, they love to tout the word all. What about all? Those in Psalm 5 that God hates. He said he doesn't hate the works of iniquity. He hates the workers. The workers. He hates them. The workers of iniquity. By the way, and I'm going to tell you something. If you'll ever learn about the attributes of God, this is where men go wrong, because they apply attributes to God like they think of men when they got that knowledge of good and evil. God never loves somebody that he hates, and he never hates somebody that he loves. Not ever. That's what married people do. They say, I do, and then, man, they're in love, and then they end up hating. That's what men do, you see. And then they used to tell me, well, God's not willing that any should perish. And I go, amen, brother. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Ain't that? Yeah, he's not. And if any perish that he wasn't willing, then he wouldn't be God. Not one soul that God is willed to go to heaven will be in hell, nor vice versa. And I'm going to thank God that he didn't leave that up to man. Or I wouldn't want to be in heaven. Because you'd have a mess. Just like we have in churches. And just like we have in religion. Now hear me and know God. Is God love? Of course he is. Does he hate some? Of course he does. We don't serve two gods. We don't serve a love God and a hate God. He said, Jacob have I loved. Didn't he? He said, Esau have I hated. Romans chapter 9. From the womb. I've had men tell me over there, go, oh, that's because he knew how Esau's going to turn out. Son, I got news for you. He knew Esau long before the womb. had nothing to do with turning out. It had to do with ground. It had to do with ground. God's fixed. Unlike a man, he can't change his mind, else he'd be not God. His attributes are fixed. He hates whom he hates, and he loves whom he loves. And never the twain shall meet, you might say. And you get that. If a man will get that, he'll get God. And I've had more men spew venom over what I'm preaching this morning than any doctrine that I've ever preached. It's amazing to me. I told a man the other day, he's listening. And he said, are you a Calvinist? And I said, no, I just believe God's sovereign. I'm not sure what Calvinist, you know, or maybe, I don't know. Men label. They asked Spurgeon one time, said, are you a Calvinist? He said, well, if you mean by Calvinist, I believe God's sovereign in election, yeah. He said, but I'm not a Calvinist. That's just a doctrine, I believe. And that's just a doctrine that I believe. It was revealed to me. I couldn't see it. And I had to pray about it. And the great preacher, the Wesleys, and I think it was John or Charles, I don't know, one of the Wesley boys, George Whitefield. They were very good friends, and one believed this way, and one they believed they were at total opposite poles on that thing. But they had fellowship. Did you know that? And the letters that were written between them were glorious. But they never hated each other. Wesley asked Whitefield to preach his funeral, but not today. I don't mind fellowshipping with a man that believes whosoever, and everybody can get saved. Doesn't bother me at all. I don't care what you believe. You know, you love the Lord. I love the Lord. There was a man, an evangelist used to come down here, and man, they hated people who believed God was sovereign, didn't they? They hated it. And one of his preacher boys, he used to bring a preacher boy down here from Georgia, and he said, he found out that I believe, and he said, you fellowship with that man? And he told that boy, he said, son, there's two rails that train runs on. Just get on the train. Just get on the train. Make sure you're on one of them. Get on the train. And I can say amen to that, you see. God's fixed. Look, I've got a Bible page that's 500 years old. Paid hundreds of dollars for it. One page. Was it Tisdale?
Tyndale. Original Tyndale? Tyndale.
That man, he died for that one page. It's a little tiny page. I've got it in plastic. And they said, what scripture you want? And I said, I'm on Acts 13:48. If you could, if it's available, I'd like Acts 13:48. Now, those of you that know me, and some of you know about this, though it is, some of you won't. I just love Peter Ruckman. That church over there, the Bible church, was started because they love Peter Ruckman. I just love Peter Ruckman. And I told him, I said, man, you ever learn God's sovereign, I'll move in with you. He said, you're never going to live with me. And I said, you're correct, but I love you anyway. And if you ever read Peter Ruckman's dissertation on Acts 13:48, you'll know something about little black Sambo chasing his tail and turning into butter. Because you can't jump over it. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. That's the King James Bible. And you don't have to study that verse. As the old preacher said, I don't have to know what it means. I know what it says. You see. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9. Hit a few scriptures and we'll go on down the road.
What verse?
9, 2 Timothy 1, 9. Who has saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus, when? Before the world began. My favorite book, Romans chapter 8. These are the verses that, man, I couldn't get over, and I struggle with for a week of prayer. Chapter 8, verse 28 through verse 30. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are what? The called according to His purpose. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son. He predestinated them. He didn't predestinate Judas to be conformed to the image of His Son. He predestinated him for something else. See, I don't understand it. It's not fair. It doesn't matter. It's fair because it's God. Don't have to understand it. He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, then He also called, and whom He called, then He also justified, whom He justified, and then He also glorified. That's another message. Oh, brother, you got to wait to be glorified to get to heaven. Well, you ought to read the King James Bible. You might learn something. Romans chapter 9, it's right there next to you. For the children, verse 11 through verse 13, children being not yet born, neither having done good or evil, the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of Him that calleth. Was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. Look at verse 18. Therefore hath He mercy on whom He will have mercy, and whom He will He hardeneth. Thou wilt say unto me, why doth He yet find fault? For who hath resisted His will? Nay, but O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? Hath not the power of the potter over the clay of same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? Is it any wonder the good ground? Do you see it? The good ground, Jesus declaring plainly, it's not given to these people to be saved. It's not given to these people to be converted.
Oh, yes.
Amen. That boy might be a Pentecostal for it, though. The whosoever the elect of God, according to God, not according to man. They are the wheat. They are not the tares. They are the sheep. They are not the goats. But man, since the Garden of Eden, won't have it. He became as gods, and he gained the right to say who was saved and who wasn't. Now let me ask, who's going to heaven? The wayside? Those among thorns? Or the good ground? Now I've got some news for you. Hey, John. Hey, listen. Listen. And folks, this is the crux. I didn't make my ground. I didn't make it. I tried to make it stony. I tried to make it shallow. I was kicking against the pricks. I tried. God knows I tried. You're a sheep boy. And I'm going to plant a seed in you. And I became a new creature in Christ Jesus, and all things became new. Like I preached last week or the week before. You're going to tell me you're in the vine? You got thorns and thistles. Whatever that stuff is that grows on these vines here in Texas, I don't know what that stuff is. Got a pretty flower, but it ain't nice stuff. You see? Look at him in verse 23 of our text. Mark chapter 4. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. You know, I used to tell those men in jail, I'd say, Parker, you need to find a place all alone and get on your face and ask God who you belong to. Like the colored preacher, you remember? Had to do a funeral for a rounder, gambler, drinker. And they all wondered, what's he going to say? Everybody knew this man was pretty no count. And that color preacher, he said, you know what? I'm going to throw whatever his name was out here on the Jordan, Lord. And whoever belonged to you or the devil, come get him. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I like that, John. Luke chapter 8, verse 15. But that on good ground are they, look, that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart. There's only one way you can have an honest and good heart, because there's none good. And that's those that God said. He said, I'll give you what? A new heart, but Jeremiah, and a new mind. He said, what'll I give you? I'm going to give you a new heart, and I'm going to give you good. I'm going to. Honest and good heart, having heard the word, they keep it and they bring forth fruit with patience. You tell me, if you're able, you tell me. I've sowed seed now for almost 35 years and I've seen it all. Used to trouble me greatly that they didn't get it. I don't understand it. It's like showing them, man, see this glass? Remember Jesus? See this glass that's got the water? You say, well, there you go the other way. No. I'm showing it to you, but they won't take it. Just like they wouldn't take it with you. They didn't have the eyes to see it, and they didn't have the ears to hear it. Some did. Why wouldn't all? Wasn't given. It just simply wasn't given. And that's what Jesus said. What did he say those wouldn't receive? He said, I'm going to give you the gospel. Remember, he sent them out. He said, if they don't receive it, what? Wipe the dust off your feet and going down the road. I'm not being cold. I'm not being hard. There's nothing I like better than seeing men and women and even children come to Christ Jesus. Because I know they're His. And I know it wasn't me. I just threw the seed. I can't make it grow. That's supernatural. How a seed grows? I remember as a kid, the black and white films they showed in school, you remember that? That 16 millimeter or something? Because you got to get out of class and they had time-lapse photography had come along and you could see a bean. They had a bean in it. And that bean come out of that bean underground and like an ant farm and shot up. Like, how do it know? Man, it was miraculous, you see. But the good ground that brings forth fruit, some 30, some 60, some 100. My great, too many uncles to know, greats to know uncle Jonah, he said it just right in Jonah 2:9. He said, salvation's of the Lord. Amen. I can tell you after 35 years of ministry, salvation's of the Lord. The Lord only brings forth that seed, that new creature in Christ Jesus, not man. Does faith come by hearing? Of course it does. To the good ground. Throw you some seeds out. You'll learn. The good ground. Father, I